You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com. and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and I am going to spend a little bit more time on the president's statement yesterday. I only really got it started, and I had to end the show, and I apologize for that, but I'm really a prisoner of the schedule here. I'm going to pick up where I left off, and we have a related story to it, is that Congress today, or the Senate, passed, and in turn, this will lead to another very, very positive news, the United States-Mexico-Canadian-USMCA agreement replacing NAFTA. And it was a very much bipartisan vote. I think it was either 89 or 90 to 10. So that's good news. And because both these stories, the signing of the Phase 1 agreement concerning the United States and Communist China trade, together with the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, that should lead to probably, my best guess is, and it's only a guess, but I've looked at various estimates, anywhere from 0.4 to 0.5%, and it's going to take time. It's not going to have instantaneously increase in the gross domestic product, the GDP, the total output of finished goods in the United States. So this is good in terms of creating jobs and getting us back to a more normal trend line of economic growth, 3%. We need to really have economic growth rates above 3% because both in the latter part of George's Bush administration, when the economy was sliding into a recession, as well as Obama's, our growth rates are under 3% or under the trend line. Obviously, when we're in a recession, you have negative growth, which you don't want. Historically, if you look over a long period of time, I'm talking decades, 40, 50, 60 years, it depends when you start and end, you get a growth rate, an average, just so you know what's average, of between 3 and 3.5%. And ideally, that would be all right if you can consistently do it year in, year out. But over the latter part of both Bush and Obama, you're looking at it between 2 and 2.5. In other words, we're about, and this is just approximation, 1% below where we really should be. And to try to catch up, that's why you need economic policies, tax policies, regulation that would enable the economy, the U.S. economy, to grow at 4, 5, 6%. And that, in my mind, is truly a growth rates that would be fairly characterized as booming. I say this because it's important who you elect president and what their bias is and what they're trying to do. Trump understood that was one of the things that was really killing the production, especially for small businessmen, were regulation. That does get overlooked, and sometime in the future, I'm going to zero in on that. But that's important, just as important as taxes. The problem I had with the tax reform that Donald Trump and his administration got through, it really did not, well, it helped primarily corporations, but also in the consumer to a certain extent, it really did not fundamentally reform the system. We need to scrap our tax system and start again with a broad-based consumption tax to replace the income taxes that we have. So you can't just look at trade, for example, or the taxes. You also have to look at spending. They're all interrelated. But what you have to do is pursue policies and get results that lead eventually over time to higher growth rates. There's no reason the United States economy could not grow at 4%, 5%, 6% other than you have a very, especially in past administrations, intervening in the U.S. economy. And we have the Democratic Party and its candidates. For all practical purposes, they want to go to socialism, and socialism fails. They can't get the job done. And they also become very authoritarian, if not totalitarian. So economic news, especially good economic news that we had today, I was thinking, are the Democrats in their right mind? I know they think they're damaging Trump by impeaching him. I really think that they are damaging the Democratic Party. I think they're going to get a big backlash from the American people that can't believe what the Democratic Party is doing in impeaching Trump. And I've tried to be objective about it. They don't have a case. This is a fabricated nonsense. And it was really to smear Donald Trump. What they were trying to do was to try to prove, but they didn't have any evidence, that Donald Trump and his campaign were so-called colluding with the Russians. Well, colluding is talking to the Russians. Well, they weren't, really. And I want you to just ask yourself the question, did anything the Russians do influence your vote? No. And all of this started with Hillary Clinton's campaign trying to come up with an excuse as to why she lost. She lost because she's a lousy candidate, and Trump was a better candidate. So today, I want to get back to listening to what President Trump has to say about this trade agreement.
For decades, American workers, farmers, ranchers, manufacturers, and innovators have been hurt by the unfair trade with China. Forced technology transfer and intellectual property theft have been huge problems. Since China joined the World Trade Organization 2 decades ago, we have racked up nearly $5 trillion, the Vice Premier, I hope he's not listening to this, in trade deficits, lost millions and millions of manufacturing jobs, and saw tens of thousands of factories close. And that had to do also with Mexico, and to an extent, Canada. What they did to this country with trade and trade deals, NAFTA, we had no deal with China. I mean, we had no deal. And it was like just easy pickings. For years, politicians ran for office promising action to remedy these practices, only to do nothing but allow them to continue. And it was pillage. As a candidate for president, I vowed strong action. It's probably the biggest reason why I ran for president, because I saw it for so many years, and I said, how come nobody's doing something about it? In the meantime, immigration and building our military, also important, but that's probably the biggest reason. In June of 2016, in the great state of Pennsylvania, I promised that I would use every lawful presidential power to protect Americans from unfair trade and unfair trade practices. Unlike those who came before me, I kept my promise. They didn't promise too hard, but they didn't do anything. And I actually think I more than kept my promise. Now our efforts have yielded a transformative deal that will bring tremendous benefits to both countries. We have a great relationship with China. We have a great relationship with the leadership of China, and China fully understands that there has to be a certain reciprocity. There has to be. It cannot continue like this. It would be dangerous for it to continue like it was. The agreement we signed today includes groundbreaking provisions in an area of critical importance to the United States, protecting intellectual property. So the deal you're seeing today is a much bigger deal than we have it very much guarded. They asked one of our Democratic client, Chuck Schumer, what do you think of the deal 2 weeks ago? He had no idea what the deal was. Never saw the deal. It's totally guarded. I don't like it. I don't like the deal, he said. Well, have you seen it? Yeah, I think I know. Well, why don't you like it? Well, they took the tariffs off. Actually, we didn't. He didn't know anything about the deal. He just said exactly what probably you should say as a politician. How do you like the deal? I don't like the deal. Do you know the deal? Sort of. He never saw the deal. He knew nothing about it. He would love the deal, but he can't say it because he's on the other party. But maybe Patrick would do the same thing, right? But you know what? I would say that you shouldn't. This is an unbelievable deal for the United States, and ultimately it's a great deal for both countries, and it's going to also lead to even a more stable peace throughout the world. China is helping us with North Korea. China is helping us with a lot of the things that they can be helping us with, which you don't see in a deal, but they have been very, very helpful with respect to Kim Jong-un, who has great respect for President Xi. And it's all a very, very beautiful game of chess or game of poker, or I can't use the word checkers because it's far greater than any checker game that I've ever seen. But it's a very beautiful mosaic. But China's giving us a lot of help, and we're giving them a lot of help in things that we help them with. One of the things that we are also talking about is fentanyl, and President Xi has already instituted very strong penalties and arrested large numbers of people who are sending fentanyl into our country. That never happened before. So China has made substantial and enforceable commitments regarding the protection of American ideas, trade secrets, patents, and trademarks. This was not, according to most, they didn't know we covered any of this. We've covered a lot of this. It's phase one. But they're doing many more things in phase one than anyone thought possible. China has also pledged firm action to confront pirated and counterfeit goods, which is a big problem for many of the people in the room, the counterfeiting. We'll make sure that this happens, and we have very, very strong protection. In addition, the agreement addresses forced technology transfer, policies that can require companies to give away their know-how and trade secrets. So now when Boeing has some work done over in China or wants to sell planes over in China, they don't have to give up every single thing that they've ever, you know, that they've worked so hard to develop and to come up with. Are you guys hearing that? You don't have to give up anything anymore. Just be strong. Just be strong. Don't let it happen. But you don't have to do that. It was a terrible situation going on there. And a lot of it was because our companies, I have to say this, were very weak. You were very weak. You gave up things that you didn't have to give up. But now, legally, you don't have to give them up. Under this deal, transfers and licensing of technology will be based on market terms that are fully voluntary and reflect mutual agreement. Phase one will also see China greatly expand imports to the United States. We want to buy a lot of their product inexpensively, but we have an additional 200. They are going to be what's to me very important. Number one, they're going to be spending much more than $200 billion over the next 2 years, including up to $50 billion just on agriculture alone. And some of the numbers that I wrote down, on manufacturing, they'll be spending $75 billion. They'll be putting into our country. Okay, they're going to be putting into our country $75 billion on manufacturing, $50 billion worth of energy. So that's great for our energy people. We're the number one in the world now. We weren't. We're now the number one energy group in the world. We're bigger than Saudi Arabia, and we're bigger than Russia. We're bigger than everybody. And for those people that are in the room that are very much into it, of which we have a lot of the oil and gas folks in the room, I'm approving some pipelines in Texas momentarily, which would have taken 15 more years to get, but you're going to have them very quickly. I mean, we take from a 15-year period to about a 2-month period, and I'm angry at my people for taking so long, right? But if we do that, we'll be up about another 22% in oil and natural gas. So we have $50 billion for energy, $50 billion for agriculture, and $40 to $50 billion on services, including, Rob, financial services. So the banks are going to be doing great, credit cards, all of the things that you do so well. You're going to be able to now go into China and really do a job, and they're going to be working with you. One of the other things I have to say is the protection of intellectual property. We have very strong protection of intellectual property. A lot of people thought this deal was just a simple deal for the farmers are going to get $50 billion. Remember I said, Lindsay, they have to go out and buy larger tractors. China was doing $16 billion with the farmers, and they stopped. Why not? You know, they're in a negotiation. So our people agreed to 20, and I said, no, make it 50. What difference does it make? Make it 50. They say, sir, our farmers can't produce that much. I said, I love our farmers. Let them tell me they can't do it. And I said, tell them to go out and buy a larger tractor, buy a little more land, but they'll be able to do it. I have no doubt they'll be able to do it. So the other thing that I think we have is the currency devaluation standards. We have a very strong standard for currency devaluation. And in all due respect, China was one of the greats in history at doing that, and we're going to work on it together. But currency devaluation will now have some very, very strong restrictions and very powerful restrictions. And we have full, again, the word, one of the strongest things we have, total and full enforceability. And you know what that means. Total, full enforceability on all of this. So the agreement tears down major market barriers for U.S. food and agricultural exports. China will now welcome American beef and pork, poultry, seafood, rice, dairy, infant formula, animal feed, biotechnology, and much, much more, because frankly, you know, they were not doing things that they were supposed to be, and that's okay, because now they will. The deal will also benefit energy, manufacturing, services, and all sectors of the economy. And I will say this, this deal, again, they thought it was a $50 billion agricultural deal. Now it's much more than $200 billion, of which 50 is agricultural, but the rest is in all of the other things that we just discussed, especially for financial, and you should really look at it, and you have free pass, and you don't have to worry about the 49% where you can't own, because you're going to be able to own now, and you're not going to have to take partners that are forced upon you. It's an incredible deal from that standpoint, too. We're delighted that the Chinese consumers will now enjoy the greater access to the best products on earth, those made, grown, and raised right here in the USA. So phase one, which has been really incredible. You know, we almost had the whole deal done, but this is better. This is a more detailed deal for this aspect of the deal. It was such a big deal before, and this is a much more targeted, much more powerful deal for everything we're doing, which is a very large part of the deal. But we're going to be starting phase two as soon as this kicks in. We'll be starting phase two. We're leaving tariffs on, which people are shocked, but it's great. But I will agree to take those tariffs off if we are able to do phase two. In other words, we're negotiating with the tariffs. We have 25% on $250 billion worth of goods, and then we're bringing the 10% down to 7.5% on $300 billion worth of goods plus. So, but I'm leaving them on because otherwise we have no cards to negotiate with, and negotiating with Leo is very tough. But they will all come off as soon as we finish phase two. And that would be something that some people on Wall Street will love. But from what I see, they love this deal the way it is now. But we have very strong cards. And frankly, China and I are going to start negotiating with Bob and Steve and everybody very, very shortly. So from this nation's vibrant heartland to our gleaming cities, millions of workers and farmers and innovators have waited decades for this day. We never even had a deal with China. In all fairness, I don't blame China. I blame the people that stood here before me. I don't blame China. I told that to President Xi. I was in Beijing making a speech saying how they're ripping us off. And guess what? He wasn't too happy. I looked at him. I said, he's not happy. And I said, I better change his speech quickly. So I said, I don't blame him. I blame our presidents. And I'm right. We should have done the same thing to them, but we didn't. We didn't. We never had a deal with them. They'd do whatever they wanted. With this signing, we mark more than just an agreement. We mark a sea change in international trade. At long last, Americans have a government that puts them first at the negotiating table. First in trade, first in every deal, every decision, and every action we take with incredible enforceability. As we move on to phase two, I look forward to continuing to forge a future of greater harmony, prosperity, and really commerce and far beyond commerce between the United States and China. This is something that far beyond even this deal, it's going to lead to a even stronger world peace. We now have a big investment in each other and in getting along with each other. And this deal is phase one. We'll probably be able to conclude it with phase two. We don't expect to have a phase three. But it's something that we all want to get done. And it'll be a tremendously big deal. This is something that's going to be so special, however, to our manufacturers, our farmers, our bankers, our service people. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. This is the biggest deal there is anywhere in the world by far. And that's good. We're doing another big one next week. But this is the biggest deal anybody's ever seen. And it can lead to being a deal that's unprecedented because China has 1.5 billion people. And ultimately, in phase two, we're going to be opening up China to all of your companies. So I hope you folks can handle it.
That was President Trump reviewing the results of the negotiations for phase one. My biggest takeaway from this is, and caught my attention, prior to this agreement, we didn't have an agreement. I think that needs to be emphasized. We should have had it because China was taking advantage of us. But the leadership, it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, they weren't leading. President Trump, whether you like him or not, his focus is putting America first and the American people first. And it's not a win-lose situation. Both countries gain by having fair, free, and reciprocal trade. The communist Chinese, the people of China, need our commodities primarily, or agricultural commodities for sure, but also oil and natural gas. But the problem in the past was if you wanted to invest in China, set up a plant factory, you had to take on a partner that had majority control, like 51% Chinese control, 49% the American company. And because of that, that enabled them to steal our technology. And we let them get away with it. See, for that reason alone, I wouldn't send my company over there. But a lot of people, they look at that market of 1.5 billion people, and they're rubbing their hands together. But what tends to happen is, and it takes time, but eventually, they know all your trade secrets. They know all your processes. And eventually, they stand up a company that's competing directly with you, being before you know it, doesn't make sense anymore to be in China. So the fact, this is a significant change where if you want to do business in China, supposedly you don't have to take on a partner. We'll see. Now that's important, very important. See, I'm for competition. I'm not for a situation, and let me back up 1 minute. You need to understand that China is run by one party, and that party is the Chinese Communist Party. And they have state enterprises. Many of them are partners with the U.S. companies, and they're subsidized. So for decades now, for at least 25 years, we didn't really have good leadership either in the Democrat or Republican parties when dealing with China. We were trying to bring him into the community of nations. We thought if we would treat him kindly, that they would reform their government society. Well, that hasn't happened. The Communist Party today in China is in control, I would even say, more than they ever been. And they haven't become a democratic country at all. And they do not tolerate any political dissent. So if you want to do business in China, at least in the past, it was on the terms that were advantageous to the Chinese. And Trump was right. If you don't have your own government trying to look out for the American worker as well as American businesses, people will take advantage of them, and they did. Now, what I'm afraid of is that terms and conditions can be agreed to. You can get a signed contract. The key is whether or not the United States government can enforce the terms. Now, Donald Trump is saying, well, we're going to fully enforce them. Fine, Mr. President, but we'll know in a couple of years. You're going to get examples of Chinese companies still doing what they're doing. It's hard to change. People resist change, and they're still going to put pressure on U.S. corporations. So at least in theory, you can own 100% of the company. And as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't do business with China unless you could do that. In other words, I'd keep your company in the United States and trade the goods and services that you produce. This is a major win, I think, for China and the United States and the people of both countries. And the question is, what's the economic impact on the U.S. economy? We won't really know for a couple of years. What amazes me is not only was this agreement being signed, and President Trump alluded to this, next week the signing will be of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. And that's, I think, even more important. They're our major trading partners. So together, and I will go over, and I'm sure Trump is going to have a similar function like this next week. But this shouldn't have been stalled in the House for over a year. This should have been voted on a year ago. You see, we have politicians of both parties that are more concerned about getting reelected and staying in power than what's good for the American people. We lost a year because of the House dragging this out. It was a bipartisan bill all along. Now, yes, the House and the Senate are going to try to change things. And some, the one area where the Democrats are very critical is, well, we haven't really, is in the environment. We haven't addressed climate change. Well, we're not going to be addressed. That's something we're not going to agree to. The Republicans and really the majority of the American people. We don't think the number one threat is climate change. Climate has been changing ever since the Earth has been in existence and had an atmosphere. It's always changing. It's like the weather. The weather always changes, and the climate always changes. And there are many, many causes of those changes, and man is just one rather negligible impact on the climate. There's very little you can do about it. The best thing to do is to adapt. But that held up, that propaganda, and the reason why they go on and on about on climate change, they want to increase the cost to you of gasoline and the cost of electricity by putting taxes on it. The American people don't want that, but that's what it's all about. It's trying to make you feel guilty that you are somehow, because the level of carbon dioxide has gone from roughly 200 parts per million to 400 parts per million. Carbon dioxide is a trace gas. It's an important gas. If you're breathing, you're exhaling carbon dioxide. And who needs carbon dioxide? Plants. It's plant food is one way to think of it. Yet they try to panic you with junk science. It's really politicized junk science that this should be the major challenge facing the United States. That's nonsense. And that's really taking your eye off the ball. Now, I'm for clean air and clean water. Let me make that right up front. People try to conflate pollution with carbon dioxide. Give me a break. It isn't. I only bring it up because if you look at the Green New Deal that the Democratic Party is getting behind and most of the presidential candidates are getting behind, that would wreck the U.S. economy, would lower our standard of living. And the American people are not going to be for it. The American people want their goods and services to be affordable and relatively inexpensive and not have the government, through taxation, increase their electrical prices and their gasoline prices. Any industrial economy, a growing, prosperous economy, needs energy, both for electrical power and to transport its goods and services. Keep that in mind. So if the Democratic Party wants to make the Green New Deal as part of their agenda, and I'm sure it'll be in the platform, I think the American people are going to vote thumbs down. No one thought that Donald Trump and his administration could accomplish and get a meaningful deal with China and Canada and Mexico, but we did. You got to try, at least try. Now, Donald Trump is into results. So am I. Talk is cheap. Ideas are cheap. Talk are cheap. Getting it done, getting results is what really matters. These two trade agreements will dramatically increase employment, GDP, and the growth of GDP. This is just one of several things that you have to do. There's no magic bullet, but this has a great impact. Every tenth of a percent and growth rate matters, especially when you think of it in terms of over time and accumulating. What's frustrating is I think the United States economy could grow at 5%, but that would require significantly downsizing of the government at federal and state and local. At any given time, there's only so many economic resources available. Now, through technology and investment, you can improve that. But wealth, jobs, income, goods and services are produced in the private sector, not in government. Government taxes you significantly, takes some of that money to finance the government and the rest to give it to someone else. We have to stop government intervention into the economy. Minimize it. I'm not saying go to zero, but minimize it. And we need to fundamentally reorganize the government and downsize it, because that is the problem. Reagan was right. The problem is government. It's not the solution. It is not. We need reductions in workforce of all federal government. You know, I'd like to see it down to about 500,000 people. It's over, last time I looked, it's over 1.5 million people are in government. It's a big bureaucracy. That's what they call the deep state. I think the idea of a swamp is what it's really about. Go to Washington, see the office buildings. It's the new Rome. We need changes in our tax system. So why trade agreements, whatever the country? And I'm for bilateral, what Trump calls reciprocal trade agreements, and not these multilateral deals, because it's one-on-one. We don't have to go through the World Trade Organization, or try not to, because frankly, they hurt us in the long run. So I salute the Trump administration for getting these two agreements finally moving. There's no excuse for Congress delaying it for upwards of a year. And I didn't think it was going to be possible in a short period of time to get an agreement with China. So I'm not surprised it took this long, but it's not finished. And I like to use the phrase, the proof's in the pudding, or eating the pudding. The proof is, once this agreement is signed, both phase one and phase two, what are the results? Now, we're never going to have perfectly balanced trade. I'm not worried about surpluses and deficits unless it's very one-sided. And they were very one-sided. And there was just simply a lack of leadership in both Democrat and Republican administration. They weren't focusing on the impacts this was having short, medium, and long term on the United States industrial base and the American worker. And what gets me mad is, what is Congress, the House and Senate, wasting its time on? Impeachment. And it's total nonsense. I call it an unconstitutional impeachment. Donald Trump did not commit any crime, far from even a high crime. If anything, he has been an outstanding president. He certainly surprised me, and he's only been in office 3 years. He's going to get another term, despite the propaganda machine of big lie media, the television networks, the newspapers, and the smear campaign that the Democratic Party substitutes for doing their jobs that rather smear someone's reputation. Just look at all the negative stories on the Trump administration. That's why I don't pay attention to, I don't trust them. And the American people don't trust so-called mainstream media. What's coming out of those television networks is propaganda. And it's largely slanted, biased towards the Democratic Party. They have become the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. And they simply lie about what the Trump administration is doing. Now, let me make clear, there are a lot of things that I wish Donald Trump would focus in on, one being balanced budgets. Financial situation of the U.S. government is in dire straits. There are many things you can do to correct it, but they're not doing them, at least not yet. Yes, we need to close permanently 8 departments. Yes, we need to have fundamental tax reform and go to a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of either a fair tax or my version of it, fair tax less. And I'll try to summarize it briefly. You would replace all federal taxes, my fair tax less version of the fair tax. You would replace all federal taxes with a single consumption tax. And let me make sure I said all. That means payroll taxes, income taxes, capital gains taxes, all. And it would be a 20% tax on new goods and services when you purchase it. How do you pay the tax and when do you pay the tax? When you buy a new good or service, 20% of the price will include the tax. It's embedded or built in. Keep that in mind. The price, I always use a loaf of bread. Assume that today the price of a loaf of bread is $1. Yes, I know you can get bread 3 times that, and in some grocery stores under $1. Not much under, but under. But for example, if you bought a single $1 loaf of bread today, you're not aware of it, but in the price, that $1 price, about 23 cents or 23% are all the federal taxes that you currently pay, but you pay it either as payroll taxes, businesses do, you do, or when you pay personal income taxes or corporate taxes, or the biggies, but also payroll taxes, both the business or the employer and the individual pay. Those for Social Security, Medicare, primarily disability. All of these taxes, all federal taxes, would be replaced by one single tax. of 20% included in the price of all new goods and services. There'd be no tax on capital gains. You buy a house, and let's say 10, 15, 20 years, you sell it, there's a gain. You don't have the government with their hand out saying, well, I get a cut of that gain. No, all the gains on appreciation of an asset, whether it's a house, a stock, a bond, they're yours. You want to encourage the American people to save their money, which means they have to work hard. They work hard, save their money, invest their money, and then after 20, 30, 40 years, however long, they have a very large retirement amount. They don't need Social Security. Now, I'm not recommending doing away with it, because that will be difficult to do, because there are too many people today dependent on Social Security, because that was passed in 1935. And over the years, what has happened? The rates that individuals and businesses have to pay, actually, you're paying the whole thing. I don't want to go into that explanation other to say the rates have gone up, up, and up. And because of the problem with Medicare, their deficits, and Social Security, in the future, they're going to have to go up again. So what you want to do is encourage people to work. And as they earn income, they will pay taxes when they buy goods and services. At the checkout stand, when you check out, at the cash register. Keep that in mind. And it's only for new goods and services. You don't have to worry about capital gains. In other words, your income is not taxed, neither is capital or capital gains from investments. You're relying on a single tax. Everyone pays the same rate. Doesn't mean the same amount. The more you spend, it's a consumption tax. The more you spend buying consumption goods, groceries, clothing, cars, you name it, it's going to be taxed. You decide, though, when and how much taxes you're going to pay. You can spend the money on consumption, or you can save the money. It's up to you. It's your decision. Most people will be motivated to work hard, save their money, invest their money, and this will provide strong incentives for business formation. Now, the only reason I'm going into this, we have to stop the cancer of government, and that's what it is. It's a cancer. It's killing us. We need to grow the economy at a significantly higher rate, at least the trend line. Get back to 3 and 3.5%, but there's nothing magic about that. Really going on roughly 90 years, government, especially at the federal level, but all levels, has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And the way they pay for it is to tax you and me. We need to downsize government at all levels. We need to eliminate the waste of tax preparation, tax compliance. In other words, with a broad-based consumption tax, April 15th is just an ordinary day. In other words, there are no more tax returns, period. We need to move towards a broad-based consumption tax as soon as possible. It's a bold move, but we better have bold action. Otherwise, in 10, 20 years, I don't think we have 20 years, by the way. I think we're lucky if we have 8 or 9. Given the fact that the only way today the federal government can pay its bills is borrowing, it's estimated next year will be over $1,000 billion. Think about that. You're telling me there's not fraud, waste, and abuse there? There is. We need a reduction in force by closing 8 departments. Retiring the people that are eligible and the other people need to find productive jobs in the private sector. The sooner we do it, cut spending, balance budgets, and change from an income tax-based system to a single consumption tax system, the better the United States will be. Yes, there's always the issue of transitions, but we don't have the luxury of time anymore. If we did this, we would attract investment from all countries abroad, because we'd be the only country in the world where there's no tax on capital and no tax on income. It's strictly based on individual Americans buying new goods and services. Now, one of the objections, and probably the number one objection to a consumption tax, is the economists, especially public labor economists. Well, they're regressive. Yes, they are. The payroll tax is very regressive. So is sales taxes. How do you overcome that objection? Well, you make them graduated or progressive. I prefer saying graduated, but if you prefer progressive, fine. How do you do that? Who pays more under this type of system? It's low and middle income. The way you make it progressive is everybody, every single American citizen age 18 or older would get every month a check for $1,000. What are most people going to do if you're unemployed, low income, or even middle income? Until you get a good paying job, you're going to spend the money. What that means is you would get a monthly check for $1,000 from here on out. In other words, $12,000. And this would offset $12,000 on the fare tax less. In other words, if you spend $60,000, let's say you're an individual, spend $60,000. You would pay 20% of that, or $12,000. And let me make clear, everybody pays this tax. You buy whatever good service you buy, if it's new, you're going to pay the tax. What's going to offset that tax for people low to middle income, definitely, but for everybody. We're treating everybody the same. It's the same tax rate, and it's the same subsidy, whether you're dirt poor or super rich. But who's going to pay the majority of the taxes? The people with most consumption spending, the people that have very high incomes and spend their money. Now that, in a nutshell, is the fare tax. I changed, or my version of it, fare tax less, let's be fair. I changed somewhat the fare tax because I thought it was too complicated. Every single adult 18 or above would get that $1,000 check. Doesn't matter how much income you earn. That is what makes it fair. And everyone pays the 20% rate. People that are low to middle income largely spend most of their income. Eventually, though, when they get better paying jobs, there are strong incentives to work hard, earn more money, and save more money. And that's what you want. Economics incentives will get you growth rates of 4%, 5%, 6%, because what does it encourage? Entrepreneurship, new business formation. Remember, we were replacing all federal taxes with one single tax, the fare tax less. And it is less. What's going to happen when you implement this? Fewer and fewer people are going to go on welfare. Fewer and fewer people are going to need food stamps. You are, should get, significant declines in so-called welfare spending. Why? Because the people will be working. They want to work. They don't want to stop their consumption at $60,000 or their investments. It does, over time, lead to people improving their economic situation. It would lead to, in my mind, a peace and prosperity economy, as opposed to what we have today, a warfare and welfare state, where the state is getting larger and larger and larger, and we can't afford it. We literally can't afford it. This is a bold move. Why am I bringing it up? President Trump largely got elected, if you've listened to some past shows, you know this, because he wanted to stop the illegal alien invasion and reverse it. He's made some progress, but not as much as he should, because why? The Washington establishment, the bureaucracy, the politicians, big lie media, the donor class, are all against him. No matter what he proposes, they're trying to shoot him down. They're very, very critical. Yet he's getting results. And that drives them even nuts. Donald Trump got elected because of his strong position that he wanted to stop the illegal alien invasion and reverse it. That requires the building of, in my mind, at least an additional 1,500 miles of border barrier. Trump proposed 1,000 miles, but up to now, he's nowhere near even finishing 500 miles. Now, I think he probably is going to have a couple of hundred additional miles, but we need to stop in its tracks this invasion, because along with the invasion of people, we get the invasion of drugs. And there's a lot of people, sad to say, in the United States and Mexico that benefit through the drug trade, including attorneys, judges, police, and the drug dealers. I view having a secure border, secure from the invasion, stopping the invasion, but having a big impact in stopping the drug trade. So I'm not surprised that both political parties have given hardly any money to Donald Trump to build his big, beautiful wall. I prefer the border barrier, but arose by any other name. I think ultimately, It's going to take a new political party to do this. Neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party up to this. Most of the people in Washington, the politicians, are bought and paid for. They're followers. They want to first get elected, get power, and keep power by any means possible. And both parties are guilty of what I call Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. Well, there's no such thing as free stuff. It's paid by you and me and our tax money. We might get some of it back. We might not. Today, Washington is corrupt. If you doubt me, look at this impeachment that the Democrats did in the House. That disgusts me. That is a direct challenge to the Constitution. It never should have happened. Donald Trump calls it a hoax. I call it a disgrace. It's a fraud. And you have several of these so-called managers. They're the liars. The head liar is Adam Schiff. Now, I know that Donald Trump's not going to be found guilty. That would amaze me if that happened. He shouldn't be, but he never should have been charged. He never should have been impeached. And impeachment, remember, impeaching a president is, at its core, a political process. This is the first impeachment that's not been bipartisan. It's only Democrats that had voted for this, and Republicans voted against it. It wasn't justifiable. And they were talking about impeaching him on Election Day forward, once he won. It's disgusting, disgraceful, and it's dangerous. It needs to be stopped, and the people behind it, there needs to be pushback, a backlash, and I mean defeating all the Democrats. I don't care who they are. Senators, representatives, and their presidential candidates. The only way that you get the attention of the political class is you throw them out of their office. They're all about power and keeping power, and that's how you punish them. And they need to be punished for what they've done. It disgusts me. And we had all these pomp and circumstance. They're walking from the House to the Senate, and they're reading the charges. This impeachment is a disgrace, and I hope in 2 or 3 weeks, Donald Trump will be acquitted, and then come next November, the House, the Senate will be in control by the Republicans. Now, let me make clear, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. If you listen to the show, you know I would throw them both out. I know the Republican base is very mad at the Republicans for not totally and completely repealing and replace Obamacare. And they're not happy with the fact that the Republicans, especially in the first 2 years when the House and the Senate were controlled by the Republicans and the presidency, didn't give Donald Trump $50 billion to build a border barrier. I've heard a wide range of estimates, building a complete additional 1,500 miles. And it's not just the fence. You really need two barriers with a road in the middle that's well-patrolled, has sensors, cameras. What you're trying to do is slow down or stop the people trying to break in the country so you can apprehend them, give the U.S. Border Patrol enough time to arrive on the scene and arrest them. This should have been this should have happened in 1990 at the latest, and I mean that. Since the last time we had comprehensive immigration reform, and beware of that phrase. If anyone, any politician says, I'm for comprehensive immigration reform, don't vote for them. What they want to give is citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. You need to control our borders, secure our borders. No nation can long exist where anybody that wants to break into the country can, and that's what's happening. And it's not just over the U.S.-Mexican border. It's estimated that about 40% fly in legally on a valid visa and then overstay their visa. The only reason I got on to this is an important concern, priority with the American people, not the dingbats in Congress, especially the Democratic Party with their Green Revolution. They think the greatest threat facing man is climate change. No, it's not. Climate change is junk science used to try to steal or increase your taxes. It's a way to control you and me. If they control your health care, if they control your cost of energy, electricity, gasoline to power your car, they have you. And when you combine it with the invasion continuing, that's a clear, unambiguous indication that you've been betrayed. by the very people that you've elected. So I congratulate Donald Trump and his administration, our trade representatives, for getting outstanding agreements, at least on paper. We won't know for several years what the economic consequences are because of the communist Chinese continue to cheat, and they're not the only ones that cheat. Currency manipulation, for example, making the value of the Chinese currency lower, enables and has over time them to sell a lot more goods around the world. And for many, many years, they were doing it. So any country can engage in it, including the United States. It is an unfair trade practice, but countries do it. And China's gotten away with it for many years. A couple of years ago, it stopped, and then I think it started again. So we're going to hear more on more of the details. Now, Donald Trump was criticizing Schumer about Senator Schumer from New York. This has been closely held until the terms and conditions. Remember, the first step is you negotiate them, and then you need Congress to formalize it by passing a bill. And when they do that, more of the details come out. So why impeachment was the story of the day. The real story was two significant trade agreements will lead to more jobs, more goods and services, and higher growth rates. That's what we need. Now, what about the presidential candidates? I think Donald Trump has the support of the majority of the American people, primarily Republican. But I think there will be a backlash where a lot of independents like me that set out the last election. I normally don't do that, but I couldn't vote for either a Democrat or a Republican candidate, no matter who it was. But if you look at the potential candidates on the Democratic side, right now I would say it's Bernie Sanders and or Elizabeth Warren. So it looks like we'll have Trump, the capitalist, against either Warren or Sanders, the socialist. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, I think Donald Trump's going to win in a landslide. And that's good if it happens. Don't count your chickens until you have them. You can get overconfident. Think people will come out, and they don't come out. Because everyone thinks, well, I don't need a vote because Trump's going to win in a landslide. Nope. You see, it's not only Trump. If you want some of the reforms that need to happen, such as fundamentally reforming the tax system, you're not going to get it with the Democrats in there. They just want higher and higher taxes. That's what they're about. They want more and more government spending, which means more and more higher tax rates and higher tax burdens on the people. And they want to interfere and control you, control the economy by regulations, mandates. As far as I'm concerned, if you vote your economic interest, you should not be voting for any Democrats. I don't care who they are and whether you like them or not. The only way Trump can implement what he's trying to do is he needs to get reelected, but the Republicans need to increase their numbers in the Senate as well as in the House so they control both. At some point in time, though, it's up to the American people to stand up, organize, stand up, recruit a new political party, because both these political parties are big government parties. This is really a second best way to maybe avert what I see as the day of reckoning where we're going to see default on the Treasury securities. Now, they can play a lot of games, so that doesn't appear to happen. You'll know it's happening when you see major spikes in interest rates. The United States cannot, year in, year out, run these massive deficits that look like they're going to continue year in, year out, over 1,000. Now it's 1,000. If we go down this road in 10 years, it'll be $2,000 billion. Government spending at the federal level and many state levels as well is out of control. That's why if you keep voting Democrat or Republican, you are perpetuating the status quo, and you're not going to see any fundamental change. What the Democrats and the Republicans are giving you is not fundamental change. That requires a new political party, because I don't see the leadership, and I include Donald Trump in this, significantly downsizing the federal government, year in, year out, run balanced budgets, and eliminate our legacy tax system that's based on income. It's estimated that over $500 billion or more, it's been going up, up, and up, are spent on just compliance. That's a big savings. That's filling out tax returns, and mainly for businesses. That's a waste of resources and money. You collect and pay the taxes when you buy the goods and services. If you want to save your money, you minimize to the extent you can your consumption and invest. And you won't pay any taxes on your investment. You want to encourage savings and investment. The biggest problem the American people have, they can't save any money. And to the extent they can, any gains they get are significantly taxed. Even at lower capital gains tax, it's still taxed. Why? It shouldn't be. So replace all federal taxes with one single tax of 20%. And to make it fair, give everybody a $1,000 check a month. So unemployed, low-income people, low-income, middle-income, why do they have that $1,000 check? It's to provide you the necessities of life. It's minimum. But that's to motivate you to work more. Let me summarize, give you a ballpark figure. If we went to a fair tax less, at least 50% to as high as 60% of the American people would no longer be paying federal taxes. Doesn't mean they won't be paying state taxes and county taxes and city taxes. They'll be doing that. But we would have gotten rid of the most regressive tax, our payroll taxes for Social Security and Medicare. And keep in mind, all government spending on the federal level will be paid for by that tax, period. So you're going to have to also cut spending. And you need to limit spending to what the prior year total was collected as a consumption tax or the fair tax less. Because we've seen that neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party are capable of balancing the budget. So next week we'll see the start of they had the ceremonies today and the reading of the impeachment. But it gets serious, folks, to the extent you think this is serious. Trump calls it a hoax. I call it outrageous. They're trying to undo an election because they don't like the style or don't care for Donald Trump. They lost. They're sore losers. We're about, 10 months away from the election, 10 or 10 and a half. If you don't like Trump, vote him out of office. If you do like Trump, vote him in office, but if you want to really help him, he needs more representatives and needs more senators that at least say they're Republicans. Have you noticed a lot of Republicans are retiring? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you want to check out where your representative and senator stands, go to Conservative Review and look up the rating of your congressman, woman, or senator, and I think you'll be shocked. Oh, yeah, you would expect that most of the Democrats are rated F. They're usually between 0 and 20. But what will really surprise you is much of the Republican leadership is between 30 and 40, maybe 50. They're D's and F's, too. Both parties are big government parties. That's the problem. They differ as to how they want to go about it and what they want to spend, but they're all big spenders. So if you want permanent change, it's up to the American people. Stand up a new political party. Otherwise, you won't see that fundamental change. A lot of talk, a lot of BS, and a lot of smearing and misleading you. I don't watch television news anymore. I dig out the news to try to determine what is the leading news, but it's so anti-Trump. Look at CNN, for example, a bad example. They're ultimately going to pay the price. And it's not just CNN. It's also the New York media. They're not doing what in the past was considered objective journalism. It is propaganda, 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 and they use the technique of the big lie. So you're not going to get much truth. They have the narrative, the storyline, the narrative. So we've had some very good news, but also some disappointing news in the sense that the Democratic Party, I think, is destroying itself by impeaching Donald Trump and going through. I thought they had some leadership, but I don't think either party truly has leadership. They're a bunch of followers. They're afraid. And they won't tell you the truth. They'll lie to you. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com